Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie George and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Chicago Bears. To prepare for that game, to look back at the last game, we have a guest joining us as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing on Aaron Rodgers Day?
I'm doing very well. Happy Aaron Rodgers Day to you and all our listeners.
Sounds good. Let's get right to it. We're talking about the Packers' last game against the Detroit Lions here. The Packers had kind of a three-headed running back monster of Alex Green, DeJuan Harris, and Ryan Grant that looked pretty good, I would say, this past Sunday against the Lions. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree that they all had a pretty good game. However, what I'd most like to think played well is the offensive line. They opened up a lot of holes for the running backs to go through, and the running backs did their job once they were able to get through the hole. But I would say the offensive line was more responsible for the running backs doing well than the running backs themselves. Even Evan Dietrich Smith, I think, deserves a starting job next year. I'm not sure how exactly they'll work the line in order to get him a starting role, but he has been one of the best run blockers the Packers have had on the offensive line in a couple years.
Even though maybe the Packers offensive line had a pretty good game run blocking, I thought the Packers had, especially their tackles, maybe had a little bit of a rough game in pass protection. How would you say Marshall Newhouse and Don Barclay did?
I would completely agree with you there. Marshall Newhouse allowed 6 hurries in that game, while Don Barclay allowed 5, although we didn't credit either players with allowing any sacks. This is the third straight game where Newhouse wasn't playing so well. Over the first 10 games of the season, he allowed 6 or more pressures in just one game, where he's done that in each of the past 3 games. So I'm not really sure what's up with Newhouse with him playing like he did last year.
Turning to the defensive side of the football, the Packers' defensive line, let me just say the pass rush in general here didn't get all that much pressure. They're missing Clay Matthews. Maybe looking at the outside linebackers here, how long can the Packers afford to have with the services of Clay Matthews missing them? I'm kind of stumbling around this question here, but I guess what I'm getting to is the performance of Eric Walden, Desmond Moses, and Frank Zombo, I thought was a little underwhelming on Sunday.
Yeah, it certainly was underwhelming. They've been underwhelming all season, and the Lions have 2 very good offensive tackles. So I wasn't all that surprised to see that they were even more underwhelming than they typically are. Eric Walden had just 1 hurry, Desmond Moses just 1 hit, and Frank Zombo didn't have any pressure at all, which is a lot smaller than you'd like to have. Hopefully the return of Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson helps bring more pressure, but I don't think either of those 3 guys should be starting for the Packers coming next year.
Interesting thoughts there. None of them should be starting. While the outside linebackers maybe didn't get much of a pass rush at all, the defensive line, I thought, did pretty well with only 4 active this past Sunday. They were without the services of Mike Neal and C.J. Wilson. How did the defensive line perform?
The defensive line played very well, considering there were just the 4 players. Ryan Pickett had 5 tackles for short gains, and B.J. Raji had 4 tackles for short gains in the run game. So that was Raji's best game this year in terms of run defense, while it was the 2nd best game for Pickett in run defense. Then in terms of the pass-rushing defensive linemen, Drell Worthy had a hit and 2 hurries, which represented 33% of the Packers' pass rush and was the best or the most pressure that Worthy has had all year. And then Mike Daniels stole the show with his fumble return for a touchdown. But along with that, he had a hurry and a batted pass, so it was a good game for him as well.
In the secondary, the job of Tremont Williams, I thought was pretty good in containing Calvin Johnson and the Lions' passing game and helping contain Matthew Stafford as well. How did the secondary do it?
I say this every week, but the secondary did a great job yet again. Tremont Williams, while he did allow a few first downs, he made up for it with his passes defended throughout the game. He had three of them total. So while Williams was the main man responsible for covering Calvin Johnson, he only allowed four catches for 54 yards, which is really good considering he was responsible for covering Calvin Johnson most of the day. Outside of him, Casey Hayward played every down and was typically responsible for stopping their tight end, who typically plays in the slot, Tony Sepler, which Hayward didn't have any problems covering him. He did allow one pass by Sheffler, but he also allowed two by Calvin Johnson. But along with that, he did have a pass defense. Outside of that, Devon House didn't play as well as he's been playing, with four passes allowed for 54 yards, which caused him to be benched. And then Sam Shields had a great return in his place, allowing just two catches and having his interception. So it's a little disappointing that House might get lost in the shuffle coming forward, since House had been playing well prior to this game.
Well, I suppose it's a good thing that the Packers have some pretty good depth at cornerback in general. But looking forward to this upcoming Sunday's game against the Chicago Bears, the Packers can clinch the NFC North with a victory. What do you see out of this Bears team, and what kind of challenge do they present the Packers?
When the Bears are on offense, Tremont Williams will be asked to stop Brandon Marshall. And if the Packers can do that, then they shouldn't have much of a problem stopping the Bears' offense. The Bears' offensive line is hurting. A lot of them are on the injury report, and there's already been a bit of shuffling around on that line. So if the Packers are going to get pressure in any game, this is the one that they're going to be able to do it. Then when the Bears are on defense, Calvin Hayden is one of their cornerbacks, and he hasn't been playing well these past two games. So I would expect whatever wide receiver is lined up across from Hayden to have a big game. I'm expecting it to be different receivers lined up on him throughout the game. So it'll be different receivers seeing those targets. And then with Brian Urlacher out, even though Urlacher hasn't been as good in the run game as he has in past years, he is still very good in the secondary. And with him out, that opens up the middle of the field to be a target for passes. So I could see Jermichael Finley having a big game in the pass game as well.
Well, Packers fans hope that'll happen. Nathan, thank you so much for talking to us here on Wednesday morning, Aaron Rodgers Day here at Railbird Central. We'll talk to you next Wednesday and review this Bears game.
Have a good one. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us this morning here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Let's get down to it. Got a lot to talk about today, as we do every day here at Cheesehead TV, breaking down this Packers team, looking forward to a game against the Bears in which they can clinch a playoff spot, clinch an NFC North division title this weekend with a victory. So that is all good news. The news of the day, I suppose, yesterday, and there wasn't a whole lot coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue on Tuesday on the Packers' day off, but the Packers did make one roster move yesterday that I think is worth breaking down a little bit here, because it wasn't really like a huge signing by any means. The Packers promoted a defensive lineman from the practice squad. Jordan Miller has been signed, and he's a short guy. He's like 6'1". I think the Packers website lists him as saying like 307, 308 pounds. But I've seen interviews with Mike Turgovac, the Packers defensive line coach, in which he actually says he weighs about 10 pounds more than that. So he is a little bit more of a bigger body than it may look like if you've just looked up information on him briefly. But You know, the Packers basically needing some depth along the defensive line. They have six defensive linemen on the roster, but because of the injury situation, as we know, both Mike Neal and C.J. Wilson didn't play this past Sunday against the Lions. The Packers could get away with it because they know against the Lions, they know against that passing game, they're going to run their sub-package the whole game, their nickel, their dime, in which there's, you know, pretty much a maximum of only two defensive linemen on the field at any one time. But that's not going to be the case going forward. They're going to need some help. They're going to need some bigger bodies in there because against a team like the Bears, they might need to play their base defense a little bit more. And of course, then, you know, they can also run their goal line and hippo package defense in which there's four defensive linemen on the field. You know, they'll do that against anybody as long as it's, you know, fourth and one, goal line, those types of situations. So Packers needing some depth there. Now, in order to clear room for Jordan Miller, the Packers cut Vic Soto, outside linebacker for the Packers. Of course, he's the guy who had the big training camp, big preseason in 2011, a year ago. He ends up, you know, having a touchdown, having an interception, getting some sacks. He looks dominating in the preseason last year. So the Packers keep him on their roster. He really does very little all of last year. No, he played a little bit here and there, mostly special teams. But, you know, they kept him and they come into training camp this year and you're hoping for big things from Vic Soto. And it never really happened. Didn't have nearly as good a preseason this year as he did the prior year. And so the Packers actually cut him. He signs with the Raiders. The Raiders cut him, and the Packers sign him again when injuries occur. He played in one game, I believe, a couple weeks ago. Was it maybe the Lions game or the Giants game? I can't remember. He does, you know, basically the Lions game on the road, I should say, and basically does nothing. In fact, the writing was kind of on the wall, perhaps, this past week, this Lions game. Vic Soto was actually active for the Lions game as one of the only players on the team who didn't play, but he was suited up. So you could kind of tell that the Packers weren't really happy with him. He wasn't part of their plans at all. He wasn't going to play unless, you know, injuries occurred. So the writing was kind of on the wall that he was, you know, not what they hoped he could be or helping him at all. So they make the move. They add the defensive lineman. And maybe this is a sign of also the injury situation elsewhere in the Packers roster in that, you know, maybe they don't need the outside linebacker help because Clay Matthews is going to come back, or at least that's what you hope. The Packers hoping to get the return of several injured players here this week against the Bears. And I don't know who's all going to come back, but the Packers, you look at a quartet here of players who you would like to see back for sure. You'd like to see Clay Matthews, of course, back. You'd like to see Charles Woodson back. You'd like to see Jordy Nelson back and TJ Lang as well. Now, are all four of them going to come back for sure by this Sunday? Well, we'll get a better sense of that today, this afternoon, as the Packers return to practice. The first time this week they'll practice as they get ready for the Bears, coming off their weekly day off on Tuesday, assuming they always play on Sundays. But there's other injury situations as well. It would be nice if the Packers got their defensive line depth back as well. C.J. Wilson and Mike Neal. Doesn't look like those guys are quite as far as long as the previously mentioned quartet of players there. But in fact, it was a little disappointing. I believe it was his Monday press conference. Mike McCarthy had said C.J. Wilson wasn't quite as long as they had hoped. So that was a little bit disappointing because C.J. Wilson was somebody they were hoping, or I hope that, would have a little bit bigger impact. He's so good against the run. DJ Protege says on the live blog, Wilson will be put on IR. I don't think they're going to do that because they had the opportunity. If they were going to put him on IR, they could have yesterday instead of cutting Vic Soto. So I think they're holding out hope that, you know, maybe it's still another week, two, three. They're hoping probably C.J. Wilson will be back in time for the playoffs at least. I think that's what they're hoping with these guys, if they're keeping them around and not placing them on IR at least. So we'll see, though. But, you know, the big thing is getting those guys back, Matthews, Woodson, Jordy Nelson, and T.J. Lang. The Packers could really use their services. They've won without them the past 2 weeks. Of course, they lost without them against the New York Giants, or, you know, that's when some injuries occurred to T.J. Lang. Or did T.J. Lang, get hurt in the Vikings game? Anyhow, the Packers could really use the help. Of course, they need the pass rush from Clay Matthews. They're not getting it from anywhere else. As we talked to Nathan Yonke, they're not getting it, especially from the outside linebackers, Eric Walden, Desmond Moses, Frank Zombo. None of those guys really doing all that much in terms of defense, for the Packers. Eric Walden, I think, is probably the best. He's doing a good job in the run game. Desmond Moses is young, and he shows some flashes here and there. None of them are really consistent. I think Pro Football Focus, really puts it well in terms of their grading. You know, every once in a while, Eric Walden will come up with a sack. He'll come up with a good play. He'll put a nice hard hit on the quarterback, and you're thinking like, well, okay, Eric Walden's doing okay. But when it only happens like once a game, you know, once out of every 70-some snaps he plays, you'll look at ProFootballFocus.com, and his grades are kind of low. And that's the reason why, is because the plays Eric Walden makes are so few and far between. Like I said, he's probably the most consistent of any of those outside linebackers the Packers have, but really not the answer there, probably. And I really think it was interesting there, the comment that Nathan Yonke made, that none of those guys opposite Clay Matthews should be a starter next year for the Packers, which makes you think, what are the Packers going to do at that position? They really still could use another starter there. And I suppose you hope Nick Perry comes along a year from now. Are those other guys still on the roster? Is Eric Walden around next year? Does Desmond Moses really step it up and actually, you know, become more of a force next year? What do the Packers do with Frank Zombo? He won a game ball, but it was strictly for his play on special teams. It wasn't for his play on defense. In fact, Frank Zombo kind of stunk on defense this past week, but kudos to his special teams play. Packers could use more of that on special teams. Anyhow, John says on the live blog, Clay isn't just the pass rusher. He's the best run defender, too. I mean, no doubt about it. Comment on our live blog here. Clay Matthews is an all-around football player, and there's no doubt about it that he can rush the passer. He can defend the run. He can play in coverage. You name it, Clay Matthews can do it. He is the person they miss the most. Here we go. Good comment here. Nathan Yonke sticking with us on the live blog. He says, Walden gets a pressure on just one of every 17 pass rushes. In comparison, Clay Matthews does one in every seven. So there you go. Whole lot better production from Clay Matthews than Eric Walden and any of the other outside linebackers for that matter. You know, Jamie asks here on the live blog, did Tremont Williams have Brandon Marshall in game one between the meeting between those teams? And it's interesting, if you remember, that was a big storyline when the Packers faced the Bears in week two of the season, their first meeting in Green Bay. Tremont Williams absolutely shut down Brandon Marshall. And, you know, a lot was made of that matchup coming into the game because, you know, Brandon Marshall was the big offseason acquisition for the Bears. They traded to get him. He's being reunited with Jay Cutler. So a lot of attention there on Brandon Marshall. And he did absolutely nothing. Brandon Marshall did in that meeting. He might have had a catch or two, and literally that was it. So Tremont Williams really had a good performance that game. And, you know, when you stop Brandon Marshall, you're stopping most of the Bears' offense. They don't have a whole lot of other weapons there. You know, he's one of the few weapons at Jay Cutler's disposal. Their offensive line is really in shambles there in Chicago. Has been for some time. Amazing that they haven't been able to improve that. Bears' offensive line has been really poor for some time now. And So you stop Brandon Marshall, you stop almost any threats they have. So it'll be the same thing here. Jamie says in game one, Marshall was targeted 5 times and he had 2 catches for 24 yards. Yeah, I mean, he did nothing. And so, you know, Nathan Yonke said it, basically probably going to be matched up against Tremont Williams once again. So that'll be a matchup to watch. And we'll see how the Packers do. They've been doing a good job. The whole secondary, we talked about it there. They got pretty good depth at cornerback in general. How about the job Sam Shields did, I thought, on Sunday? This is probably worthy of a lot more discussion here because I thought it was really big. You know, Sam Shields coming back for the first time since week 6, and I thought has an outstanding game. All of a sudden, you know, Devon House has a little bit of a rough time, you know, this past week. He gives up a couple plays there. Matthew Stafford, you know, has the touchdown pass and a touchdown run, and House comes out of the game. Shields replaces him. He not only gets an interception, he bats down 2 more passes on top of that. And then he runs down the long kick return by Logan, by the Lions there as well. You could just tell that the speed Sam Shields has is so good that he needs to be out there on the field, probably ahead of Devon House. And, you know, Devon House, I thought, has generally played pretty well. He's had his moments here and there where he's struggled. In particular against the Giants a couple weeks ago, had his moments there against the Lions just this past Sunday where he struggled. For the most part, he's done well, but I suppose that's a good thing. You know, to the Packers, he'll probably be more of a backup now, but he's a pretty darn good backup to have at cornerback. So the Packers having some good depth there, and Devon House will probably play more of a role on special teams going forward. But DJ Protege says on the live blog, Hayward playing pretty well. He's played well all season long. I just wrote a post at Cheesehead TV yesterday saying Casey Hayward is one of the league leaders in passes defended this season in the NFL. I think he's got 18 by the NFL's count, which sometimes differs from the counts they make at other places. Everybody has their own definition, and I know sometimes it differs from what they have at ProFootballFocus.com, for example. Even the official statistics the Packers keep, you know, if you look at their website, their press releases, usually they credit players with a much higher number of passes defended, but or any metric you use, Casey Hayward is having a good year and deserves to be out there, deserves to be a starter, deserves to be on the field no matter the Packers are playing you know, whatever defense they're playing, whether it's their base defense in the 3-4, their sub package inside outside, Casey Hayward needs to be out there, and guys like Devon House and Sam Shields, probably more of your nickel cornerbacks that are only going to come in and play in those types of situations. And, you know, they play in those types of situations a lot, but Casey Hayward needs to be in there pretty much 99% of the time. Nathan Yonke says, by the Pro Football Focus count, Tremont Williams ties for the league lead at 14. Hayward isn't far behind at 10. So there you go. Both guys doing a good job there and batting down passes and helping to stop opposing passing games for the Green Bay Packers. You know, looking ahead here to the Bears game this Sunday, of course, it'll be important how the Packers shut down Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler. I think they do that, and they'll be okay. Looking at the other side of the football, of course, the Packers, the Bears will be missing Brian Urlacher. That'll kind of be a big storyline. In fact, I think Aaron Rodgers was just talking about yesterday on his weekly radio show there at ESPN Milwaukee, how he'll miss playing against Brian Urlacher. You know, just a guy who's kind of the face of the franchise there in Chicago, and of course a good player, but he'll be missing the game with injury. The Packers offense, you expect the Bears to do what most teams have done against the Packers this year. They'll play with those two deep safeties, I would think. You know, who knows? Maybe they could change things up. Will the success of the Packers running game as of late, in particular this pass game with Alex Green, Ryan Grant, Dewan Harris, all combining for a pretty good game on the ground, will that force teams to bring a safety up? You know, the Packers have been taking what the defense gives them. When they see those deep safeties, they've tried to run quite a bit more this season than they did, you know, compared to a year ago. So, but, you know, that being said, the Packers have had some success on the ground. So maybe teams start bringing that corner up or that safety up. And if that's the case, they'll go back to the air and, you know, trying to do the damage with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is starting to get back his injured wide receiving core. The guys have missed, you know, games. Of course, Greg Jennings earlier in the season, he's now back. Could be getting Jordy Nelson back this week. We will see. It would certainly be good if he has the full complement of receiving threats to join Randall Cobb, James Jones, JerMichael Finley, etc., etc., you know, as weapons that Aaron Rodgers can distribute the ball to. And that'll certainly make things easier for the Packers offense against the Bears defense. Did I see that Tim Jennings is hurt for the Bears? Now, that guy I know has had a very good year for the Bears defense, and that'll definitely be a storyline worth watching here, and one I'm going to have to read up on a little bit more and find out the injury situation there, monitor it throughout the week. You know, he's had a really good year for the Bears, one of their best defenders, one of their best players in general. And be interesting to see how the Packers defend him, how they do against him. Jamie says on the live blog, dislocated right shoulder. Going to have to monitor that situation throughout the week. But anyhow, thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday morning, folks. Thanks to Nathan Yonke for joining us as the guest. We'll be back on Friday once again, talking some Packers football, getting ready for this Bears game on Sunday this weekend. Maybe I'll have more on the Bears injury situation then, and we'll talk more about it then, and the Packers injury situation as well, seeing if guys like Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, TJ Lang will be back. That'll be worth watching today as the Packers return to practice On behalf of Jamie Jors, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caribou. Thanks for joining us here, everyone, this morning on Railbird Central. We'll talk to you on Friday. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.